everybody. My name is Grant Fincher. I am 13 years old. Today is November 26th. I'm speaking with my grandma. We are recording this interview in Macon, Georgia. So first question. Well, tell me about your parents.
Tell me about my parents?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We lived on a big... It's called a farm in Georgia, but it was really a ranch, like they have in Texas, where they have cattle and everything. That's where we lived.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad had black Angus cattle, and we had all other kind of animals. We had horses and ducks and guineas and just any kind of pigs and cows, all other kind of cows, and we just had all kind of animals like you would have on a ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother worked for the school system, until I was 11 years old, I was the only child, and then my sister finally came along, and she just went to work every day, and my dad worked there on the ranch and with a couple of other people, other men, and I rode the bus to school and all that, and so that's just what we did all the time. It was like a 250-acre ranch, so it was pretty good size, and it kept you really, really busy.
All right. Tell me about when you found out you were going to be a mother / father. Tell me about when you found out you were going to be a mother.
When I was going to be a mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. By that time, I was working and, of course, married, and I lived in Atlanta then, and my parents still lived at the same place, and I just started having some dizzy spells, a little bit of dizzy spell now and then, and felt kind of nauseous, and I thought, So I decided to go to the doctor, and when I did, I found out I was going to have a little girl, and after a couple of months of being kind of nauseated and all that stuff, everything went just fine, and I didn't have any problem, and I felt real good, and I was real excited. I thought that probably they told me I was going to have a little girl, but I kind of thought I was going to have a little boy, but they knew more than I did, so I had a girl.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember the moment you first saw your my dad, and how did it make you feel?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Do you remember the moment when you first saw my dad? How did it make you feel?
Well, see, he was the second child. And when I saw him, I was just real excited since I already had a girl, I was real excited to have a boy. And he had really blonde hair. And he was chubby a little bit and just really, really cute. And I was just really excited about it. Because, like I said, I wanted a boy then because I already had a little girl. And everybody kept telling me that he was going to have red hair. Because when I was young, I had some red in my hair. And everybody told me he'd have red hair. And I'm going, nope. He's not going to be redheaded. And sure enough, he wasn't. He was very, very blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really cute.
What was the worst thing you remember that my dad was ever doing when he was a child?
You're going to have to turn your head here because your voice doesn't carry this way. So tell me the question again.
What was the worst thing you remember that my dad has done when he was a child?
Oh my gosh. The worst thing he did as a child, what age are you talking about? Any age?
Mm-hmm.
The worst thing he did. The worst thing he did when he was a child is he might have been maybe 12 or maybe that age. We lived in Emory, and we lived on the side of a hill. And it had snowed and it had iced over a little bit. And he and his buddies were on the streets sledding on a sled. And they were just having a lot of fun and were not paying too much attention. And so all of a sudden they came flying down the hill and kind of lost control of the sled and slid underneath a parked car and scared us all absolutely, totally to death. We thought they were dead, the two of them. Of course, it didn't even hurt either one of them. Amazingly enough, it didn't hurt either one of them. But I was a bit angry that he had let something like that happen because it scared us all so bad. But I was very, very thankful that it didn't hurt them.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood?
Okay.
What you did and what you liked.
When I started to school, I had to walk to school because we lived fairly close to the school. And so my mom would walk with me to the school in the mornings. And I didn't like going to school. I don't know why I didn't like it, but I did not want to go to school. So when she would take me and leave me at the classroom door, and she would turn around to go back home, and I would just walk down the hall and go out the back door, and I'd be sitting at home waiting for her when she got home. And that went on for quite a while until we moved and I changed school and went to another school where I had to ride the bus. And so my dad would walk me to the bus stop and I would get on the bus and go to school. Well, that way I didn't have any choice. I had to stay at school because I didn't even really know by then I was in the second grade and I didn't know how to get home. So I had to stay at school. So that was interesting. And then, like I said, I was an only child, so I would go home after school and my dad would be home because he was working there around the house. And so I would do my homework and read books and listen to the radio because we didn't have TV way back then. And so I'd listen to the radio and play around and do games and stuff myself. And sometimes I would go over, there was a house a good ways, you couldn't see it from our house, but it wasn't too far, and there was a little girl that I went to school with lived over there, and so sometimes I would go walk over there and we would play in the afternoon until my mom got home from work, or either she would come over to my house and we'd play. And after I got bigger, I began to do chores around the house and do things for my mom that, you know, she wouldn't have to do when she got home from work. And then, all of a sudden, here comes my baby sister. And I babysat with her and looked after her and took care of her and all that, and then and helped my mother out with her. And then before long, because I'd started to school early, so I graduated from high school when I was 17. And then, of course, the next thing you were going to do was even go to college or go to work. And I didn't really want to go to college at that time, so I started working. And there you are. That is history.
Who are your grandparents? Who were your grandparents?
My grandparents. Okay, my dad's parents. His mom passed away when I was six, so I didn't ever really know her. But his dad lived fairly close to us, and he would come and visit. And after he got older, like I was probably maybe 8 years old or something, he came to live with us because he was older. And he and I used to play school. He didn't really know much about reading and writing because way back in his day, you know, most of the men didn't get to go to school. They had to stay home and work on around their house or get a job or something to help keep up the family. So he didn't have too much of an education. So he wanted to play. We played school. He and I played school, and I taught him a lot of the stuff that I knew, and we had a really good time playing school. And then he would go to my uncle's house and stay with them for a while, and then he would, you know, kind of go back and forth. And then my mother's parents were somewhat younger, and they lived in Marietta. And my granddad was a fantastic carpenter. He could build and make anything, so he worked for a company that made kitchen cabinets and just all kinds of things like that. And my grandmother stayed home. She was a housewife, and sometimes I would go and stay with her. And in the summer particularly, I would go and stay with her when I was younger, and while my mom was working. And we were just real, real close. We had a really good time. She let me help her cook and all that stuff, you know, so we had a really good time.
Do you have any memories of them?
Oh yeah, lots. Because I stayed with them so often, you know, we just did everything together, you know. Like I said, the cooking, and she taught me a little bit how to sew, and we would wash clothes together. She taught me all that kind of stuff that my mom didn't have time to teach me because she worked all the time. And so my grandmother then taught me all how to do all of those things, you know. And then my granddad was, he was kind of strict. You would now consider him strict. He would, like, tell you, when he told you something to do, you didn't even question it. You just did it, because he was just that kind of person. He never raised his voice. He just was very mild-mannered, but somehow you just instinctively knew that you ought to do what he asked you to do, and I did. And we never had any problem. I just followed what he told me, and then we had a good time together too. He had an orchard that had all kinds of apples and peaches, and he had a fig tree and all those kind of things. And so I would go with him to pick apples, and he would show me, you know, all about the fruit and everything. And we just all had a really good time together.
Can you tell me one or two people who have been the kindest to you in your life?
The kindest? Well, let me see. The kindest. I had a really good home ec teacher that I really liked, and she taught me a lot of stuff that I needed to know when I got older. And she was very kind to everybody and to me. And I enjoyed her class because of the type of person she was and the things that she was teaching us. And she was just I just remember her as being very, very kind person to me and to other people too. And then the other person would be, a lady that I worked with that was just a very kind person, and we just got along really well, and we just became really good friends, and we were really kind to each other. I think I was kind to her, and she was to me, and we just enjoyed working together.
Alright. Tell me about a teacher or just another adult that had a big impact in your life.
I actually think the person that had the most impact on my life as a homemaker and taking care of your children and taking care of your home and all that was the same lady that I just spoke about that taught me how to do all these things, how to keep your home organized and clean. And clean up after yourself every day, and just keep your kitchen really, really clean. And that impacted my life a lot as to even how I do things today. I still try to keep everything organized, and even paperwork and stuff, you know, I try to keep it all organized and kind of not, particularly when I was working and had children, I had to have organization to my life to be able to work and keep up with my two children and the things that they wanted to do. So I think that same lady that was really, really kind to me helped me organize my whole life as far as, you know, organization and all that stuff. I still do that till this day.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Wow. One of my happiest memories. I think all of my happy memories are mostly being involved with my children and my grandchildren. That's just been a real happy time for me my whole life, because it seems to me that my whole life has been devoted to my children and grandchildren. So that seems to have that. Those, I think, are the happiest memories that I have over my lifetime.
Can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments in your life?
I think one of the most difficult times was when my mother passed away. She passed away from cancer. And I was the only one that could really look after her because my sister was still working, and she is single, and so it wasn't like she could stop working because she was, you know, her own income. And if she didn't work, she didn't get paid. So I was the one that had to look after my mom full time. And she'd have to go to the hospital and come back. And then all during the, I just finally ended up having to move to her house and take care of her when she wasn't in the hospital. And it was just really a sad time for me just to see her wasting away with cancer, you know. And then my sister would help when she got home from work, you know, and she helped as much as she could. And she took care of all of the paperwork involved with her medical situation and all, but actually I had to do all the physical stuff and keep things going in her home, as such as food and anything she would eat and all that. But all during the time that she was sick and passed away, that was a really sad situation for me.
Can you tell me about some of the most important lessons you learned in your life?
I think probably the most important lessons I learned was, first of all, to be as independent as possible. Don't depend on other people to do things for you. Learn to do as many things on your own as you possibly can, and keep yourself informed about what's going on in not only the world, but your local community and your home and all that. Just keep yourself very, very aware of what's going on all throughout the country, you know. When I say be as independent as possible, I don't mean don't ever ask for help, because everybody needs help once in a while. But I still think you should do as much for yourself as you're capable, and even push yourself sometimes to do something that you think you can't do. If you push yourself, you find out you can do. And there are also things like your integrity, as far as honesty is the best policy, you know. You also need to be kind and everything to people, and you learn that when you're nice to other people, they'll generally be nice back to you, and those kind of things. Just be kind and nice to people, and just, you learn that you cannot control other people, but you can control yourself. And so you have to be responsible for being a kind person and everything to everybody else, whether they're that way to you or not. So those are the kind of lessons that we learned early on, really, back when I was a child and teenager and just moving through life.
Can you tell me about a historic event that impacted your life, like World War II or 9/11, etc.?
I remember a good bit about World War II because I had a couple of uncles that had to go in the army, and we kept up with them. There was one on my dad's side of the family and one on my mother's side of the family that had to go to the army. And I would write to them, even though it probably didn't make sense. I would still send them letters, because, and they would send me letters back, because that's what they taught us to, that's what my parents and at school they taught us to, that one of the most important things that we could do for soldiers was to write letters from home. They love to get mail and send them care packages, you know, cookies and things that would really, you know, not spoil on the way. Send them anything you could, and toothpaste and those kind of things. And so that's why I remember a lot about World War II. And I remember also when I would be with my grandmother and granddad in Marietta, we had these blackout moments. I don't really even to this day understand what that was really about, but it had something to do with, at times there was I think sirens, I think, came on, the best I remember. And I'm not sure this is right, but I think it is. Sirens would come on, and that meant that you had to turn out all the lights. They were called blackouts. And I think that had something to do with in cities, where all the cities were lit up, then the enemy would bomb. That's the way they found places to bomb, was by the lights. So when certain things happened, which, like I said, I don't even still to this day think about it or understand it too well, because I was pretty small. But I remember when we did have those blackouts, you know, and we had to sit around with all the lights out, and then some sort of signal would come on, and we were able to turn the lights back on, and things like that that I remember during World War II. And then I remember the day the war was over, because there was much celebrating all over the country, and our radio stayed on and all that, listening to all the celebration, and even in the towns and all, people celebrated. So I remember quite a bit about that. And I don't really remember too much about 9/11, except the ordinary things that everybody remembers, because a lot of it I didn't watch or listen to. I just didn't really want to know. It was so sad and so traumatic. I just chose not to really listen to too much of that.
How would you like to be remembered?
I guess the only way I would like to be remembered would be as a good or competent mother and grandmother. Other than that, it doesn't matter.
What are your hopes for me and someday maybe my children?
Woo! Mainly with all my grandchildren. I think I would just love for you to be happy in whatever you're doing. It doesn't matter what you choose to do, if it's something you're happy with. You always need to have a job or a situation where it's not a chore to you. It's just, you know, you're happy in your job and you're happy in your life. And and therefore, if you are having a happy experience in life, I think you'll pass that on to your own children, and they will be, you know, good children, and life will be pretty good for you, because children are a challenge to their parents, because it's a challenge because you've never done that before, and you don't know what to expect, and you really don't know how, so you just have to guess it, whether or not you're doing the right thing. So basically, if your household is happy, that's a good thing. And I hope you just have health, have good health. All of you have good health, and do exciting things like your parents do for you. Travel as much as you can, get yourself a good education, and be happy.
If you knew this is going to probably be our last conversation, is there anything you've never told me? Is there anything you've never told me you kind of would like to hear now?
I would tell you that I have truly enjoyed up to this point and expect to for a long time to come to have you as my grandchild. I think that you already know, but in case you didn't, I would want to tell you how much I loved you, how much I was excited that you and I were able to be close together. In other words, I don't live one city and you live another city. You know, we both live in the same city, so we get to visit and know each other. Because so many grandmothers and their grandchildren live miles and miles away, they never really get to know each other. So living close together, we have known each other more than a lot of other kids, you know. And even sometimes when kids live close by, they still don't ever really have enough contact with each other to get to know each other. You know, they never talk to each other, they never visit each other. But see, we've become, you know, real close and see each other all the time, and it's just a real thrill to get to my other grandchildren that are so much older than you and your sister. I went through the same thing with them. It was just years ago, you know. I lived close to them and we visited all the time and I took them places and got them things. And see, now that they're adults, and I'm here, I'm getting to do that with you all. So I feel real lucky because I got to do it for all of my grandchildren. One time with them, and now you are here. You two are my second family. So that's a real thrill, you know, to get to be close to all your grandchildren.
Thinking about your family many generations from now, and knowing that they may hear this recording, is there anything you want to say to them?
It would be pretty much the same thing I said to you about your goal and everything, and the way your life would go. It's kind of the same thing. You know, be happy in whatever you're doing. Take care of yourself and your family. You know, just try to be good people.
Who are your favorite relatives?
Who are my favorite relatives? Well, I wouldn't want to answer that too much because, first of all, I don't have that many relatives left. You know, I just have the ones that even you know. You know, I have a daughter, a son, two grandchildren with my daughter, and two grandchildren with my son. So, and then I have a sister, one sister. She has no children, just one sister is all I have. I have a couple of cousins that live great distance away and I never see or hear from them. That's basically all the family. We're all a small family. And so I don't really have what you would call favorites. You know, I just think everybody's the same.
Do you remember any of this, like some sort of stories that your parents used to tell you?
Let's see. I remember more songs that they used to sing to me than stories. I don't think they ever actually told us stories like I know a lot of parents did, but I don't think my family ever told us stories. But they used to sing songs for us, and that was kind of a lot of fun to hear the music and stuff that they experienced when they were younger, and just the singing was really more what I remember than the stories.
How did you and your grandma or grandpa meet?
How do we meet? I don't remember when I met them. I guess my mom was always close to her parents and my dad was pretty close to his, and so all I remember is just visiting back and forth with them, you know. I think I remember they were always there, you know. And so I don't remember the first time I wouldn't say we met, because to me they were always there.
Mm-hmm. Was my dad well behaved?
Yes, he was very well behaved. He was a very good child. I never had any problem with him as doing things that were wrong or anything. He was a very good child.
All right. I think the final question, do you remember any songs or stories that you used to sing to my dad or his sister?
I don't remember any particular stories. You would probably have to ask him about if he remembers any of that, because I don't. Because when they were children, they were involved in just everything in the world, sports and band and school, and we were just all very busy. We kept ourselves very busy, but we talked a lot. We talked about just everything that had happened that day and everything that each one of us knew. Everybody kind of, I guess, took turns talking about what had happened that day and just kept ourselves in tune with everything that was going on and then discussed it. So mostly we just talked about the present time rather than the past. Things that had happened in the past. We didn't discuss that too much. We were just too busy, and everybody had to take, everybody took turns telling what they had done that day and what they were interested in. And we went to, all the football games and the concerts and all that stuff. And we were just busy, busy, busy when they were living at home. And so I don't think I ever told them stories. You'd have to ask your dad about that.